and get chapter 16. John chapter 16. And after today's message, I'll have preached as many messages about the person of Jesus Christ. That's 16 messages about Him. And it's over there in Matthew chapter 22 when the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "What think ye of Christ?" And certainly here in this gospel, we're given a lot of things to think about when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. In these messages, these portraits of John's gospel, if you will, we have seen Christ in His wisdom and simplicity as the teacher come from God. We've seen Him in compassion as the great physician. We've seen Him in His nature as the light of the world. Concerning His deity, we considered Him as the Word there in John chapter 1. In His providential care, He represented Himself as the good shepherd of the sheep. We see Him in as the very provision of God, the one that God gave to provide for us as the bread come down from heaven, the bread of life. We focused upon Him in this gospel as the fountain of living water there in John chapter 7. And as one touched with a feeling of our infirmities, He's the Son of Man. In His power, He is seen as the resurrection and the life. That's in John chapter 11, where He raises Lazarus from the dead. John, as he presents Christ as a king, he shows Him in His humiliation and determination in following and fulfilling the will of God. And we've seen Him in that same humility there as a servant in John chapter 13. And in our dependence upon Him, we considered Him in John 15 as the true vine. And of course, in John 14, He is the first comforter from whom comes one called another comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And today, from this chapter, we're going to once again be speaking about Christ preparing His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them. He would no longer be present with them, so to speak. But He would be up there with the Father. And so He's going to speak more clearly to them about the subject of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about that and what we gain from the gift of the Spirit of God. And for my subject today, I'm going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ today, whom Himself was a gift of God. God gave Him to us, and we're going to speak about His giving to us the Spirit, so that while we're talking about the Spirit of God today, I'm framing my subject also around the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe as the Holy Spirit Himself would have me to do. And I want to preach to you on this thought. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And I don't know what product that was used on as far as selling. I know that somebody had a slogan, "The gift that keeps on giving," but I know it's true of the Lord Jesus. And we want to make that point to you this morning, beginning in verse 1. I want us to take the time and read the whole chapter together. John chapter 16 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And then again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. You can see they're frustrated. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Dear Father, I give you thanks for the blessings of the week and for the help and encouragement that you've given and continue to give. I thank you for my family, for the church, and I ask that you'll help me to minister to this church today as an under-shepherd of your sheep, and bring forth a message and preaching about your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we now confess as Lord today for your glory and honor. Thank you for him and for his precious blood and for his glorious resurrection and faithful service now on our behalf at your right hand as our great high priest. I pray you'll speak to us all and you'll move us towards higher ground in regards to living for him and his glory. Lord, it is our desire as Christians you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you'll guide us, Lord, and show us these things to come. And Lord, help us to glorify Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will use this church and use me now as a preacher. And help me, Lord God, to be edifying today, to preach with the right spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And from that statement, we understand that Jesus, who was sent down from heaven, and who also, the Bible, we might add, says that he, of his own volition, his own will, he came. Not only was he sent, not only did he willingly come, the Bible says he was given. God so loved that he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus then is a gift, and as a gift, once we've received him, we continue to receive from him over and over again as he just continues to give more and more. Annie Johnson Flint wrote a song, He Giveth More Grace. And I'm sure most of you, maybe all of you, have heard this song, but the words go, He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. And then the chorus goes, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. And thank God for that song and for the truth of that song. When Jesus spoke of Himself as the bread of God, He said, Moses gave you not that bread which comes down from God, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And the Lord Jesus would of His own will come down from glory to earth, and with a mission and with a purpose, a commission to do a work there, He would come from heaven to earth, and He is sent in that respect from the Father with a job to do. In respect to the Father's position over Him as Father, and in respect to His affection for His Son, He of course gave Him to us. He gave us the Son of God. The Bible says He was given. Jesus was a gift. And in this Gospel of John, I think it's already been stated in a message prior, there's some things which the Holy Spirit goes out of His way to show us Jesus has given unto us. In chapter 4, verse 10, Christ says He gave us living water. Of course, of this water, if you drink it, He says you'll never thirst again. In chapter 13, verse 15, Christ serves His disciples, even humbling Himself, getting down, washing their old dirty feet. He took care of them that day and gave them an illustration. That's what He said He gave. He said, I have given you an example to follow. That's something He gave to us, according to the Gospel. In chapter 14, verse 16, we read of another Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, that would be given to us. In chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So He, the Lord Jesus, gives us peace. And then in praying in John 17, as we'll see later, Jesus said to God the Father, He said, I have given unto them Thy words. Jesus gave the words of God. In John 10:11, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for His sheep. And then, of course, it's clearly stated here that He gives us the Spirit of God. He gives to us this other Comforter. And through this Comforter, we understand all that we receive in following after His leadership and His guidance. So, again, Jesus is the gift from God, and yet He's a gift that keeps on giving. And remember, in these passages here, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, what we have is we have Christ giving encouragement. He's talking to His followers. He's speaking to them about the time when He's going to be gone, and they're going to be here without Him. And they're going to be expected to carry on. The work has to go on. The show, as they say, must go on. And He says in verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. What He's done so far is He's sought to show these men what He, you know, is doing for them. He's washing their feet, but He's seeking to show them what they needed in the way of humility, as far as being able to carry out the job of discipleship, being able to see themselves in the true role of a disciple. And the true role of a disciple is that of a servant. And if you don't understand that as being part of discipleship, you're not going to have what it takes to finish the job. And that just helps us to recognize the importance of perseverance, of the ability to keep on going, the ability to keep on pushing on and not giving up, not growing weary, not throwing in the towel. Jesus right there, He said the disciple's not above his master. Again, He's saying, you're no better than me. And if I'd get down, Jesus said, and wash your feet, then you ought to do the same thing for one another. And in that, you know, He girded on that towel. Like I said before, that's what you can do with it. You can gird on that towel and serve one another, or you'll end up throwing in that towel and quitting on God. Because what He's showing them is what they need in the way of encouragement so they don't quit on Him after He's gone to the Father. Needless to say, today He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. He's still in heaven. He's still there with God. And as He showed them the need for discipleship and the attitude of a servant in all that, we need to take note to the illustration He gave to those disciples as well and illustrate that humility towards one another. Now keep in mind, He also spoke to them several lessons in which they needed to understand. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. He also had said, let not your heart be troubled. And when He spoke those words in that passage, He went on to speak to them about a hope for tomorrow. and he spoke to them about a help for today. That's the two things that he sought to encourage them about. And when speaking about a hope for tomorrow, he spoke of a heavenly home. Remember what he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's getting them to think about up there. Get your mind off of what's down here. Why? Because as he closes this chapter, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Down here, I mean, if this is all life is to you, you're just down here in the shuttle of things and getting caught up in the hustle and the bustle, then you're going to be discouraged because in this life, down here in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be problems. But he said, up there in my Father's house are many mansions. Why did he tell them that? He wants to encourage them. Why do we have it in the Bible? Because he wants to encourage us. We have a heavenly home. He also gave them a heavenly hope. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Folks, that's the blessed hope today. I got a home up there, but, you know, if I wanted to be carnal, I could say, what good is it doing me down here? You know, really, if it wasn't for the fact he's coming back for me, I'd never make it up there. I couldn't get from here to there. But he said, if I go, he said, I will come again. That's the blessed hope right there. I mean, I've got a home up there that I know for sure I'm going to enjoy one day because the one that cannot lie said, I prepared a place for you, and since I'm gone, and I know where he's at today, he said, if I go, I will come again. That's the sure hope, the blessed hope that Christ is coming for his people. Then there's also the heavenly hope coming. He said this, he said, if I go, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's our hope today. Our hope is about a place over yonder, as they say. We've got a home with God in the Father's house, and that's where we need to be laying up treasures, because where the treasure is, there will the heart be also. Speaking about help for today, he spoke to us of the Holy Spirit, and he called him another comforter. And we've seen he, Christ himself, he's the first comforter. And a comforter is somebody that exhorts you. He's somebody that stirs you up. He's somebody that encourages you. And Jesus is the first comforter there. And so he sent the Holy Spirit there to do for us now what he would be doing if he were here. But he sent the Holy Spirit for us to do for us now in the way of accomplishing these tasks that he has put before us, the job that he's given us to do. We've been given another comforter. Someone that'll see us through, somebody that'll help us get it done. And only by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way that you can receive the gift of the Spirit of God. And it's one package. Once you've received Christ, then the Bible says in John 3, you are born of the Spirit. All right? Galatians chapter 3 says, having begun in the Spirit. That's important. Why? In describing the whole process of salvation, he says it's the operation of God, the invisible operation of God made without hands. And he talks about the cutting apart there of the flesh from the sins of the flesh, and we're separated from that. And that whole process right there, he calls that the operation of God. And it's the circumcision done of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God cuts us free from the sins of the flesh through the sword of the Spirit. All right, now the point is that there's never a time there that we believed and later we needed to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The moment we believed, we received the gift of the Spirit of God. That happened instantaneously. That happened automatically. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after, listen, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, we were given the whole thing to bring that all to pass when we got saved. I mean, it's a guarantee. I mean, signed, sealed, one day we'll be delivered. The Spirit of God was given to us when we believed on Christ. And with that one gift of the Spirit of God came salvation. Spirit of God caused us to be born of the Spirit. The invisible operation was performed. At that moment, we had one to comfort us and guide us and encourage us. And listen, when Jesus comes, it's going to be the same Spirit in us that was in Him when He was raised from the dead, that Spirit's going to conform us to be like unto Christ, and we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and this earth's going to lose its gravitational hold on us, and by the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to go up, up, and away. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. See, and we were given all that the moment we believed. There's not a chance of this thing falling apart. Spirit of God guarantees this is the, He is the earnest of our inheritance. If a man does not have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he's not of Christ. He doesn't belong to Jesus. If you have the Spirit of God, then you're saved. If you don't have the Spirit of God, it's because you're not saved. Now to receive the Spirit of God, you need to receive the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the Spirit is the gift of salvation. Through the Spirit, we're baptized into Christ's death. You understand? That's not a preacher putting you down in the water. That's the Holy Spirit putting you into Christ's death. Literally. Now, I died with Him. And then through the Spirit, Ephesians says, we were raised in His resurrection and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's all through the transaction of the Spirit of God in faith in Jesus Christ. Now see, once you receive Christ, whom the Father sent and gave, He sent and He has given to us this another comforter who is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the point we began to make back in chapter 7 as we considered Christ as the fountain of living water. Christ is the source of the living water. The living water is the Holy Spirit. And so in receiving the Spirit of God, there is no time where, you know, I have believed and now I need to go and pray and hang on and wait and trust and maybe God will give me the Spirit of God. That is an experience in which I was put into. I was in a situation where the people that told me about Christ, they loved the Lord, I knew that. But they wanted me, after I was saved, to receive the gift of the Spirit of God. They told me, what you need now is the gift of the Spirit of God. I said, okay, I'm all for it. I just got saved, I didn't know anything. And I went in that situation, make a real long story, real short. I found myself sitting there, them all gathered around me, and they're hitting me on the head, saying, give it to Him, Lord, and touching my mouth, give it to Him, Lord. It dawned on me what they're expecting. Now you talk about awkward. You get in that situation there, it's time to show, you know, it's time to show. And I gave them what they're looking for. I was faking the whole time. I was just trying to get out with my life at the time, to be honest with you. But here's the thing, guys. I mean, I could smack you in the head. We could all pray around you and everything. Listen, if you believed on Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit of God. You've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the Bible says if you've received Christ, He says, walk in Him. Walk in the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit of God. Now, He says right here of the Holy Spirit, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. You see, that's what damns a man, is the sin of unbelief. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. There's our righteousness right there. It's Jesus Christ. He goes to the Father. All right. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. That's very interesting as you begin to look at the Gospel of John. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says we're to do. We're to compare the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. In speaking to us of comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, He speaks to us of the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And you make much of words in the Bible. Every word of God is pure. And you take the word cannot, and just how it shows up in the context of John, that's certainly something there the Holy Spirit would have us to do. Look at that word and how it shows up in the context, and it shows us some great lessons in this gospel. For example, back in chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He's talking about being born of the flesh and being born of the Spirit of God. He says, except to be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so in that context, the word cannot appears, and the Holy Spirit teaches us by that word, the natural man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot. It doesn't matter if the natural man joins the church. It doesn't matter if the natural man's been baptized by a church elder. It doesn't matter if that natural man goes on to join the Masonic Lodge. It doesn't matter. Whatever creed he keeps, whatever good work he performs, he, Jesus said, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Over in chapter 7, verse 36, it says, what manner of saying, Jesus speaking, is it that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus is saying there, the lost cannot go where he is. They cannot go where he is right now. He makes that point also in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 21. Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Now he knew what was in their heart, but he's just pointing out something there. You can't get from here to there as a natural man. As an unsaved man, you cannot get from here to there. God's got to give you something and someone in this case that'll get you from here to there. That someone is the Holy Spirit. In John 8:43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. All right, now, speaking that the unsaved cannot hear the words of God, talking about their unbelief, Jesus at that point, he said, again, he said, he that is of God heareth God's words. And he said to those folks that were against him and didn't believe on him, he says, ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. The unbeliever cannot hear the words of God, and not until he'll consider it as the truth will he begin to understand what God is saying. And if he'll esteem the words of God as they are, as being true, then he'll hear it. And once he hears it, listen, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. You see, that's what happens. You've got to hear the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God. You won't be able to hear it as long as it's just a fairy tale and fallacy to you. You got to consider it and accept it as the truth. The word cannot is used of the Holy Spirit in John's gospel to promote the idea of its invincibility and its infallibility. He said in John 10:35, he says, the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. John 15, verse 4, this is a point we labored on last week. He said, Jesus speaking, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And of course, that's once we've been saved and born again, we cannot bring forth fruit of ourselves. We must abide in the vine, who is Christ. In this chapter, I see something very considerate of the Lord. And it just verifying that he's not going to place upon us that which we cannot bear. Look there at verse 12. Verse 12. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. He's saying there's some things there as believers I really have a desire to tell you. There's some thing there as my followers I wish I could speak to you and you'd get a hold of, but you cannot bear it now. You can't handle it right now. And so he doesn't tell them. He doesn't tell them what it is he has a desire to tell them because they cannot bear it, because the Lord, he'll not put on us that which we cannot bear. And the Holy Spirit would be given to them for the express purpose of bringing to remembrance and showing them things to come and preparing them and guiding them in the necessary truth that Jesus desired to tell them so that they'd be able to stand and not give in, not give up, but they'd be able to go on and finish the race. Of the Holy Spirit, Jesus uses that word cannot back in chapter 14, verse 17. Here's what he said. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, He, the Holy Spirit, dwells with us and in us because Christ gave Him to us. And those that don't believe on Christ, they cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless they believe. Therefore, they cannot go where Jesus is because it's the Spirit of God that gets us from here to there. They can't be born again, not without the Spirit. They can't therefore enter into the kingdom of God, and they won't benefit from hearing the Word of God because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him because they're spiritually discerned. Now, if you hear the gospel and you believe it, then that's the key to having your ears open to the rest of the Word of God. But until that happens, you're without Christ. And because you're without Christ, you're without the Holy Spirit. You're without the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you're without understanding. You're without light. And the situation's very bleak, not until you will believe. And this thing's for sure, because the Scripture cannot be broken. But for those of us that are saved through the blood of Christ, when we were given Jesus Christ, He gave us His faith. He gave us His righteousness. He gave everlasting life to us. He gave us the forgiveness of sins. He gave us a home in heaven. And He has given this great gift. The great gift, the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. And what He does for us is He takes those things Jesus said, and He uses those things and builds us up and edifies us and reminds us of those things. He enlightens us in those things, and He helps us to discern the things of God. Now, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Why? Because if Jesus were here, you know what He'd be doing? He'd be giving us what we can handle. Why? Just to encourage us. Just to keep us going. Just to cause us to be effective. If He were here and not up there seated next to the Father, He'd be bringing things to remembrance. He'd be reminding us things. He'd be teaching us things. But He's up there seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit's been given to us, another comforter. And He ministers to us in the way that Jesus would if Jesus were on earth. And so Jesus is up there now. And you know what He's doing? He's making intercession for us seated right next to the Father. And from down here in my frail flesh, I pray, but I don't even know how to pray. I have the Holy Spirit given to me, and He's making intercession for me from here. Now, that's a great deal. Here is Christ up there in heaven making intercession for us as our advocate, and here we are down here on earth, the Holy Spirit making intercession for us from down here on earth. He's making intercession for us and praying for us, for we know not what we should pray for. Now, the worth of the great gift of the Spirit, the worth of the gift that Jesus has given to us, is that we're talking about the third person of the Godhead. All right? Now, this isn't just, you know, we're not just talking about moving on, in the humanly term, inspiration of a man, you know. Yeah, there's some men that I study after, and I told you about maybe reading the journal of a Jim Elliot, or reading the biography of a George Mueller, and or reading the messages of a George Whitefield, and studying about William Booth, and these different men, and they fire me up. I get encouraged reading about what those men wrote, or what those men preached, or what those men did in their life, and how God used them, and it fires me up. And we're not just talking about that. We're not just talking about getting fired up here. We're talking about the third person of the Godhead is in us. The Spirit of God is in us, and that's the earnest of our inheritance. He's in us, and so what that means is, as a person, the Bible talks to us in Ephesians 4:30, saying this, because that's the case, He says, don't grieve Him. Don't grieve Him. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption, it says. It's not that the sealing becomes undone or anything. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. But He says, don't grieve Him. To grieve means to make Him heavy, or to make Him sorry or sad, as we'd say. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit. This isn't a force. This isn't the exerted energy of God, you know. This isn't an animate thing. This isn't like electricity, you know, where you smack someone in the head. This is the third person of God. And He's in you. And when we don't live for Jesus, and we don't bring glory to Him, and we don't live right, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of God, He's grieved. When we walk in the flesh and carnality, He's grieved in us. The Spirit of God is. He's a person. He can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench Him. Don't quench Him. You can quench the Holy Spirit in the life of another believer. Somebody can come and they can talk to you and say, man, you know, I was doing this and God answered that prayer. And man, I saw this thing in the Bible and God spoke to me over here in this promise. And you can sit there going, you just don't know yet. And you can act like it's, you know, no big deal what they've seen and no big deal what they're doing. And what you'll do is you'll discourage them. But in so doing, you'll quench the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in their life. Like one fellow said, you know, new converts get saved and they're excited about serving the Lord. And you people have the attitude, well, it won't be long. You'll be just as dead as I am. When you do that, you quench the Spirit of God. You put the fire out on another believer's life. That's quenching the Spirit of God. The Bible says, don't do that. Don't quench the Spirit of God. He can be lied to. Acts chapter 5, there with Ananias and Sapphira. They were guilty of pretending. Now, they weren't guilty of holding back. They held back and lied about what they did. I mean, it was in their power to do whatever they wanted to with it. He said, nobody's got a gun to your head. It's in your power. You can do what you wanted to. You want to sell half and give it? Then sell half and give it. What they did was they just sold part of it and then kept that part for themselves and then got up and paraded around like they did more than they did. And in so doing, they lied to the Holy Ghost. You know what the Lord did? He made an example out of them. He said, you've not lied unto men. You've lied unto God. That's the Holy Spirit. Now that's the worth of this gift. He's a person. He's in me. He's in you. If you've believed on Christ, He's in you. And then the work of this gift, He says He convicts. He points out sin. He points out the wrong in our life. He convinces of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Boy, I know that to be true. There have been a lot of times when I have done wrong, or I've been in a wrong state of mind, and feel that heaviness. Feel that sense of guilt. The Holy Spirit pointing out that. Or there's been those times when there's been something there, some work to do, and something in me saying, pick up that plow, get involved, do something here. And then, of course, of judgment. How many times have you just been thinking and you thought, well, one of these days, the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to be standing there. You know who's given those thoughts, who's helping us, provoking us unto good works, keeping us from sin, warning us from danger? It's Him. It's this gift, the gift of the Spirit of God. He convinces of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He does so in the lives of unsaved sinners, and He does so in the lives of saints. He indwells us, He instructs us, He fills us, He enables us, He encourages us. And the wonder of this gift. And I won't take the time to look back there at chapter 14 this morning, but it talks about His presence in our lives and how He shall dwell with you forever. Talking about how He stays around. He's going to see us through this thing. And His performance in our lives. The performance of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the abiding presence of Christ to manifest the qualities of the life of Christ through our life. Those things that would not be there naturally are there supernaturally. Joy in the midst of affliction. Peace in the midst of a trial. Love surrounded by arrogance and violence. I mean, those things there are there. They can be there by the Spirit of God in our lives. And that is, of course, the work that He does in our lives, through our lives. I want to close with one story about a girl named Che Tolisa. And spell her name would be T-S-H-A-Y, T-O-L-E-S-S-A. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but Che Tolisa. And she was caught up there in Ethiopia in the communist coup there. She was a believer in Christ. And from church there, she was gathered there, wrangled up during one of their church service. The communist soldiers came in there and took them, and they beat them. And they tortured them, and they molested them, and they hung her upside down, and they whipped her until big pieces of skin hung from her body, and they hit her in the feet, and then made her stand and walk on her broken feet. They ushered her into a cell of 62 people in that cell. There was one place to use the bathroom in that cell, and it was a hole in the ground. But it was no good to anybody because they were so cram-packed in that tiny cell that all they could do was stand next to each other. And she said, there was no rest because everybody was standing on broken feet and there was blood. And she said, and you couldn't relieve yourself standing in that thing day after day after day after day. She said, so there we are just in the human waste and the filth, standing on broken bones. And she said, the whole while those soldiers would come through and rattle those cages and speak into that cell and say, where is your loving Jesus now? Where is your loving Jesus now? And Shea Talessa said, it was a great revelation in her life. She loved the Lord. She believed on Christ. But one of the greatest times of revelation came at that moment as that soldier taunted her and said, where is your loving Jesus now? She said, it dawned on me perhaps for the first time as she looked around there in a cell of 62 people standing shoulder to shoulder in their own filth and pain and agony. She said to herself, why, he's here. He's here in the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And she appreciated that perhaps more than she'd ever appreciated it before. That in that filthy condition and those terrible suffering times, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit caused her to realize he had not forsaken her. He was right there through it all. They hated her. They hated her people. They hated them because of their faith in the gospel. And they were trying to stamp them out. But she realized he had not forsaken her. He was there. Now she still bears the scars. We're talking back in the 80s this happened. She still bears the scars of all the things she suffered. But she said, boy, just that liberating truth. He's with me. He's with me. Well, today, saint, listen. Jesus, who gave you the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you through that same Spirit. He abides with us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's there to do the job in us that needs to be done, to do the job through us that needs to be done, and in the end, to finish the job that he started on us. One of these days, the same Spirit that we've been given, he's going to deliver us to Christ. That's why we were given the Spirit of God, the seal of our inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance, until the day of the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're going home. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to get us there. He's with you every day. You say the wrong things. You do the wrong things. You think the wrong things. You're in the wrong places. You got the wrong friends. He's grieved. You don't get caught up and provoke others unto good works, or you discourage them towards the good works they're doing. He's quenched. And then when we pretend and we get caught up in the rut and the facade of religion and we're not honest with God, he's lied to. He's the person of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who was given to us. He gave the Spirit of God to us so that we can live for him. I want you to bow your heads, please, and everyone standing, no one looking around. Think about it, Christian. Think about it this morning. No matter what's going on, maybe a trial, maybe some type of heaviness, I have no idea. But where is your loving Jesus now? Where is he? Now just think about that. Where is Jesus to you now? Is he? Well, you say, well, he's up there in heaven. Or do you immediately respond, he's here, he's with me. He's in my heart. I know as far as location goes and position, he is high above it all, the head of the body seated next to the Father. But in regards to his abiding presence in Christian fellowship, do you recognize that he's always with you? When things aren't right, he can be grieved. The Spirit of God can be grieved, quenched. We can even pretend things and lie to him. That's not his will. His will is that we would yield, die to self, and bear forth fruit that manifests the qualities of the life of Jesus Christ. Those things that come from the Holy Spirit. They won't be there if we walk in the flesh and live after the flesh. But they can most certainly be there despite the circumstances. If we'll walk, live, and abide in the Spirit. Father, I pray you'll bless the message this morning and use it, Lord, to the edification of the church who attended today. And Lord, help them, God. Help us all to recognize the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Always with us. Help us to realize, Lord God, why we've been given this person of the Comforter. Lord, use that same Spirit today to convince us of sin where needed, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And help us, Lord God, to leave better than we came. I pray in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, ladies, if you'll play, we'll have a short time of invitation. Now, if you're here without the Lord Jesus this morning, you have not received Him as your Savior, I want you to understand, as you are right now, unsaved, you cannot get from here to heaven. You cannot. You must be born of the Spirit. He's the only one that'll get us from here to Him. He'll transport us from here to Christ. If you don't have Him, you won't make it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ, once we have believed on Him, He has given to us the Spirit of God, who shall show us things to come, guide us into all truth, glorify Christ, convince men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He indwells us. He instructs us. He enables us. He comforts us. Charges our battery. Keeps us going. Causes us to want to do more. That's the presence and influence of the Holy Spirit. And when we feel that persuasion to do more, and we don't do it, we're quenching Him. God, the Holy Spirit wants to use you in a greater way to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. It's not a force you're resisting. If you say no, it's a person, and He can be grieved. Brother Jack Sexton, could we get you to dismiss us in prayer this morning, brother?